Welcome to Curl Up and Clue In, a cozy mystery podcast hosted by two booktubers turned best friends. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Spencer. Join us every episode as we dive into the enchanting world of cozy mysteries and find the cozy in everyday life. Hi, Court.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It was like pulling teeth trying to figure out times for us to record this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, such is the busy life of being toddler moms, but I'm glad we were able to wrangle the children enough for us to get some private time.
Yes, mine are asleep currently. It's glorious.
Excellent. Yeah, mine is not. She actually just bust in here, and I'm pretty sure Dad is bribing her with ice cream, you know, whatever it takes.
Yep. You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. Okay, so let's start off how we always do with a quick rundown on what we're reading. I will go first. I actually want to share because I am reading something this time around. I know. Our last episode, I was talking about being in a little bit of a slump, but I'm super excited because it is middle grade March, both when we are recording, yes, and when this comes out. So those of you who don't know middle grade March, obviously, is when the book community tries to read books that are middle grade, and it's my first foray into it, so I'm super excited. So I recently actually checked out a book called Winter House, which is about an orphan girl who is sent to a quirky hotel, and it's there where she discovers a library full of puzzles and secrets and has to figure out how she's somehow connected to Winter House. So like I said, it's been ages since I've read a middle grade book, and I am hoping that this will be the one that gets me out of my reading slump. It is the first book in the series, so if I love it, then you better believe I'm going to continue the series. So, what about you?
I actually just finished, right before the podcast, The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder by C.L. Miller. It was so flipping good. Like, I really enjoyed it, but I'm one of those people that it's like catnip to me when there are multiple points of view. Mm-hmm. I know that sometimes that can really throw people off. They don't like having to figure out who's where it is in the process or whatever, but I flip and love it. So here's the setup. Freya Lockwood reluctantly returns to her English hometown after receiving a letter from her late mentor, Arthur Crockerford. Teaming up with her quirky Aunt Carol, who I freaking loved so much, they investigate clues leading to a suspicious antique enthusiast's weekend at a manor house. But the antiques are fake, the guests are shady, and danger lurks. Can Freddy uncover the truth about Arthur's death before the killer strikes again? It was just so, so good.
That sounds so good.
I love it. And like, Aunt Carol is basically like how Marilyn Monroe would be had she been able to age to like the age of 70. Like,
wow.
It was just so good. It was so good.
So it's part of a series?
Yeah. So this is the first in the series. The next book should be coming out within the next year or so. So like, it's a brand new like series.
Oh, love it. Okay. Definitely adding to my TBR because I think that sounds incredible.
Yes. So speaking of older ladies, today we're going to be chatting about misconceptions and stereotypes surrounding the cozy mystery genre.
Dun, dun, dun.
So yeah, this is going to get a little like salty up in here. So it's no secret that cozies can sometimes get a bad rap, especially from folks who've never read the genre. So today we want to unpack the stereotypes and misconceptions and discuss whether or not they are valid. We asked everyone that follows us on Instagram to share the ones that you've heard. So we'll be bringing those up as well.
Yeah. And if you enjoy this episode, we also have videos that we have both recorded in the past where we talk about cozy misconceptions. So if you want to stop by our channels after this episode, feel free to keep the conversation going and not just on our channels, but obviously you'll be able to leave us messages on our podcast Instagram as well. So let's start with the feedback that we got from you all on Instagram. We can go one by one, kind of each bringing a point up. So Court, do you want to start?
Yes. Okay. So the first response was actually something that a lot of you guys shared, which is that cozies are for older ladies.
Boo.
That is That is ridiculous, but I'm also honored that you would consider me an older lady, okay? Like, I am vying for when I have that silver hair and am a cuddly grandma. So, I mean, if they're for older ladies, then thank you. I appreciate that. However, there are a lot of cozies that have young protagonists and even push the boundaries of what we even call cozy mysteries. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I know we had talked about this in the past. We were actually on an episode of the Get Cozy podcast that's hosted by our friend Christy, where we started talking about kind of edgier or millennial cozies, which again, the term isn't because the protagonists are millennials. It's just kind of a term coined for those harder hitting cozies. But then again, the point still stands on both sides. Like, there are cozies that have younger protagonists, both male and female. There's social media interjected into things. You're seeing a lot of like Gen Z content in there as well. So yeah, definitely not just about or for older people, though obviously there are those that feature older sleuths. We have an entire episode all about that. But yes, cozies are honestly for everybody. And so to those people who think that it's for old ladies, you can suck it, because honestly, that it could not be further from the truth. And it's really ageist as well, if I'm being honest.
True story. Yeah, no. It makes it, it reminds me of a character that I might have murdered off. So, you know.
Love it. Yeah, so don't mess with us.
Yeah.
Okay, so another response that we got is that all cozies center around female protagonists. And, you know, this one is interesting because while series feature women amateur sleuth, there's tons out there that also have male leads, not just female leads. And honestly, when I saw this comment, a handful of male-led cozies popped to mind to completely contradict that feedback. So number one, the first one that came to mind is the Cat in the Stack series by Lillian Braun. This one, I would say, is probably, when you say it's like even one of the more or most famous cozies, meaning people who don't even know cozies have heard of this series.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Obviously, again, this one features a male lead. He's a widow. The series has 16 books, which, of course, there are cozies out there with more, but this one has been around since 2010. So we're going on almost 20 years that this series has been out, which totally bashes the notion of cozies being only with female leads. There's also Bored to Death by CJ Connor, which I know just came out.
Yes.
We actually met CJ at the Ashland Mystery Festival, which, such an amazing experience. And there's another one, actually, and Court, I don't know if you have heard of it or I might have mentioned it to you, but it's called Homegrown Trouble, and it's by an indie author named James Locke. Yeah, this one stars a male farmer. So both CJ's book and Homegrown Trouble are considered cozies, which is short for queer cozy. So both of the men who are the amateur sleuths are queer, but to me that's even more awesome. So not only do you have,
I freaking love that.
Exactly. Not only do you have men protagonists, but you also have characters who are LGBTQ friendly, like all everything that you can think of is covered in cozies.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I love cozy mysteries so flippin' much, is the fact that they are so inclusive. Like, whether it is you're a part of a different, like, you're in the LGBTQ community, or if you are older, if you are younger, or like, I feel like it, even like the type of hobbies you like, it's so inclusive when it comes to that. One of the ones that has a male protagonist that just popped into my mind is the Stay at Home Dad series.
Oh my gosh, yes.
By Jeffrey Allen.
Yeah.
I have a few of those books. And so I just feel like while there are a lot of female protagonists. I really do feel like there are more and more male protagonists coming into the cozy realm.
Yeah. And one thing that I do want to say, that this might be a little bit of a hot take, but, you know, honestly, also being part of the romance community, which, as we know, oftentimes gets a lot of flack from people outside of the main readership. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with women taking up the majority of space in a segment because,
no, I agree.
Oftentimes, just in general, in life, in our world, in our society, women are the minority. You know, you mm-hmm. think of the mainstream books, or how women authors have to use pseudonyms, or how they're written off and not as serious, just for the simple fact that they are women. And of course, I feel like that's also why cozies get a bad rap, because they are often women-centered. But, you know, to me, that's more of a badge of honor than anything. Now, mm-hmm. of course, we want our space to be inclusive, and it is. But the fact that it does feature a lot of women is nothing that, that's actually something that I'm proud of, because
I would agree.
We feel safe in that space.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that I realized that was coming up was, someone said that all cozies are basically the same, which is an interesting take, since we talk about all the time how there are so many cozies, that there are countless themes and everyone is included in there. Now, I will say, as a writer and as a reader, there is a formula that a lot of cozies revolve around when it comes to the murder, or the characters starting new chapters in their lives, or the number of suspects, normally mm-hmm. between 3 and 5. However, everything else inside the book is different than any other cozy author has written.
Mm-hmm.
I can say the same thing about fantasy and romance.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, there is a formula, but that's why people love it. Like, mm-hmm. that's why they come back to the cozies over and over and over again, is because there's something cozy and familiar with it. But, like, it takes a lot to write and keep people wanting more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, honestly, that critique goes for literally genre fiction as a whole. Mm-hmm. That's literally yeah. what the genre is about. Like, with the romance, you know you're going to get a happy ending. With the fantasy, you know you're going to get some kind of quest. Obviously, with cozy mystery, you know you're going to get off-page murder in a mm-hmm. whimsical or cozy setting. But the way in which you navigate to the finish line makes every single book different. I mean, it's like, and mm-hmm. you'll have to forgive me for the food metaphor because I haven't had dinner yet, but it's like a hamburger. Obviously, you know what's going to be in a hamburger, but
true.
It's totally going to taste different depending on where you go because of how mm-hmm. people make it, what they put into it. And so, again, we talk all the time about how there is a cozy for everybody, and that's because they're so different. Like, you can put two baking cozies side by side. Mm-hmm. You can put two, I'll get even more specific. You can put two bookbinding mysteries side by side, which is a very like niche subject matter. But the books could not be more different. And of course, for those of you who are like, what books feature bookbinders? So we're talking Harper Kincaid's To Kill a Mockingjay, and we're talking about Ellery Adams' The Bibliophile mystery series. Both of those feature binding amateur sleuths. But when I tell you, those books are vastly different, even though they both hold the same hobby, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So I agree with you, but I don't agree with that critique.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So this next one is one that I have heard, not something that we got written in, but it mm-hmm. is that cozies are not as well written as traditional or more quote unquote serious mysteries, which, first of all, I'm going to call BS. But now, while part of the charm of cozies is that they do provide a level of escapism through cozy elements like small towns or quirky side characters, the writing is still excellent. I mean, we already know how hard it is to get published, but this mm-hmm. is why it's so easy to lose yourself in a series that's 20 books deep. Like, I'm not about to commit my time to 20 books that are half-ass Mm-mm. written. Like, we don't talk for that.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, we talk, I mean, viewers, listeners, folks, we talk all the time about how much we love Ellie's Bake Shop Mystery series.
Yes.
And, like, honestly, part of the reason is because the writing is stellar. Like, amazing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Amazing.
She even crafted a course for other authors to learn how to flesh out their cozy series. And, I mean, Court, you can attest to how effective it is because...
Yeah.
Why? You're coming out with your own published book later this year.
I am. And it's just, I like what it takes to be that kind of an author, a mystery author, like to say that they're not as well written as traditional or serious mysteries.
Yeah, I call BS on that. And like, honestly, to me, and I love traditional mysteries. I love mysteries and thrillers that are not just cozies. But mm-hmm. one of the unique things about cozies is that I enjoy them so much. If they are written well, I could care less about the murder. Mm-hmm. Meaning, I care so much about everything else, about the world and the characters and the town that the author has crafted.
Yes.
And that just is a testament to their writing style. When you're reading a mystery book and you're like, okay, great, there's a mystery, but tell me what's going on with Sally and, like, her mm-hmm. bake shop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. So, there, just to give you guys another example, there's also series like The Secret Book and Scone Society and The Thursday Murder Club. And, I mean, both of these are prime examples of series that are rich with emotion and complex characters. And I'd say these, amongst others, these are just a couple of examples that have come to mind, but these can definitely hold their own against the quote-unquote serious or mainstream mysteries.
Yeah, seriously. For those that say that cozies aren't well-written, like, let's meet in a dark alley, okay? Like, it takes so much wit and grit and, like, understanding of the human language to be able to write a compelling mystery and to keep readers coming back 20 books into a series.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't well written, there wouldn't be a market for it, and we wouldn't see it on our bookshelves at our local bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that you're wrong, and I have some real deep feels about that.
Yes, you and me both. And again, like, I get real defensive when it comes to people having unfounded criticisms about genre fiction. I mean, I know obviously mm-hmm. in this episode we're talking about cozies, but again, the romance community gets it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to get on my feminist step stool, I mean, anything that women like is oftentimes belittled and dismissed. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's the type of books that we read, the light and frivolous mysteries, and it's like, just because one is different from the other does not necessarily mean that one is better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. To me, there's a time and place for all of the different genres that are out there. I read so many. I mean, I go from sci-fi to fantasy to romance, back to cozies, then I go to a horror book, okay? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I feel like there is enough room on the bookshelves for all areas of fiction. And, yeah, I think that everybody should be nice to each other.
Agreed. And let's make a promise that if we enjoy a book, whether it's a cozy, whether it's a romance, whether it's anything, not to call them our guilty pleasures, because
oh my god, get out of my head.
That just implies that there's something wrong with it. And you mm-hmm. know, I know I had to break myself of the habit years ago with like music, you know, like, oh, it's my guilty pleasure mm-hmm. song or something like that, just because it was, you know, a pop song or whatever. And it's like, no, it's just as valid as mm-hmm. everything else, and the same goes for our books. So even if the cover is cute, you can still enjoy it and wear it like a badge of honor. You know, like we judge books by their covers, but it's okay to like cute books and for those books to be substantial. And even if they're not substantial, even if they're very lighthearted and fluffy, quote unquote, or whimsical, that's okay too, because those books are obviously just as valid as the deeper ones with the subtext and the Pulitzer Prize sticker on them.
Agreed. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, this... such a good topic. Such
I know. Topic. I am so far on my soapbox right now. It's not even funny. Like, I can't even look down and see the audience.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so those are just kind of a handful of feedback that we got from you all, which, again, we super appreciate everyone who commented and left their own misconceptions. Now, I will say it's interesting because while we did get a lot of feedback, most of them overlapped, which meant that you all have clearly been hearing the same things, the same misconceptions, and having folks that have the same perception. And, you know, it's kind of sad, but at the same time, as long as we don't discourage it and have it discourage us from reading what we like, you know, that's really all that matters. Like, read it proud.
Yes, yes. You are a cozy mystery reader.
Exactly. Meaning, read it on your Kindle if you want it for the ease and the convenience, but don't read it on your Kindle because you're ashamed about what the cover looks like. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, no. I've had people do that for romance books, but I'll save that discussion for another time.
Yes. Yes.
Clearly, we could go on about this, but I think we hit on the big ones, wouldn't you say, Court?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the main ones that popped into my mind are here.
Yeah, same. So whether you guys agree or not, it's clear that cozies are more than just your grandma's fluffy mysteries. And even so, there's nothing wrong with what grandma reads.
No.
And yeah, I mean, even if some of them do star older women, so what? You know, we all love senior sleuths. And if you don't, then take a listen to our previous episode about senior sleuths, which will give you the rundown and explain why.
Yes. So that's going to do it for today's episode. We hope that you consider sticking around for future episodes where we'll chat about all things bookish and cozy.
Make sure to subscribe so you know when our next episode drops. Until then, you can follow us online at Courtagonist and Intentionally Bookish on Instagram and YouTube, and Curl Up and Cluin on Instagram. Stay cozy, everyone. Bye. Bye.